www.ReverbNation.org. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Robert Onstott, Eric Klein, and Don Zare. Special thanks to Free Speech Radio News. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Ken Jones.
I'm Natasha Delapine. Coming up tomorrow on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, hear the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. At 9 on Alternative Radio, Ralph Nader speaks on Progressive Matters. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio welcomes Subhashani Ganeshan, curator of the new expressive works, and Desdemona Chiang, director of The Winter's Tale at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. At 11:30, it's Art Focus with host Andre Middleton. And thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. Good night, Ken.
Good night, Natasha. Good night, Danielle and Jerry, and hope you feel better soon, Mr. Doug McVeigh.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
While the media has focused much of its attention on the wildfires in affluent Southern California, less focus has been given to the historic flooding in Louisiana. Hard Knock Radio's Davey D spoke last week with grassroots activist Silky Slim about why a police killing of a young black man in Baton Rouge earned more media coverage than the recent flooding which took the lives of 13 people and destroyed an estimated 60,000 homes in Louisiana.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. If you're here in California, what dominates the headlines are the two wildfires, one in Lake County and one, I think they're calling the Blue Ridge Fire, down in near Riverside in Southern Cali. And we've been seeing the images of that. We've been hearing about homes destroyed, and our hearts go out to those people who are suffering and are in the line of fire, so to speak. What hasn't been urgently conveyed to us is the devastation that is going on in Baton Rouge. And from all accounts, the damage that we're seeing is worse than Katrina. And I wanted to talk to somebody who's on the ground there in Baton Rouge. He's no stranger to our airwaves. He's a longtime community activist, peace worker. His name is Silky Slim. And Slim, I'm sorry to have you on under these circumstances. You walked us through the unrest that had broken out in Baton Rouge with the police shooting of Alvin Sterling. And we talked about the police militarization, and a lot of our emotions were directed at that sort of travesty of justice in Baton Rouge. We had no idea that we would see 40,000, 50,000 homes destroyed. You have just sent me some pictures that look like Katrina Part 2, if not worse. You know, I'm looking at a picture of a school that is damn near submerged, water up to street signs, and it's pretty bad. So let everybody know that's listening what they're not really talking about when they're covering this in the news right now.
Well, first of all, Dave, I want to give my prayers to everybody in California that's going through this fire, and definitely let the world know right now that we're also going through a major devastation here is what it is. This is worse than Katrina. We're underwater, basically in some areas, 14 to 15 feet underwater. Houses have been submerged, and this is a major disaster. But for some reason, it hasn't picked up any news coverage nationally. But we're definitely in a time of despair here in Baton Rouge, man. And it's just sad. Someone was just on the phone 5 minutes ago before I talked to you, and we were saying that Baton Rouge had been in the news so much with the Alton Sterling killing and then the killing of the police, and looked like the news people just say, we're not going back to Baton Rouge, you know. And it's just sad times for us right now. Everybody, a lot of people have lost everything. But one of the things that I try to encourage the people on the ground is that as long as that we're breathing air, we didn't lose everything. We lost the material stuff, but we still have life, so we still blessed, Dave.
You know, some of us who are watching this and hearing about this have mixed emotions in this sense. We went through the devastation of Katrina, and our hearts went out. And then we saw the governor and the government in Louisiana withhold money from people that really need it. We've seen people like Bobby Jindal talk about we don't need federal money, and folks in Congress encouraging the government to scale back on things like FEMA and other things. And now we see this epic, you know, devastation. And while people's hearts go out to the folks that are dealing with it, people like yourselves and others, there's another part of us that's going, you know, some of this, I don't know how to quite describe it, but there's a certain type of mixed emotions I think a lot of people are feeling when you have such outspoken people coming out of Louisiana who've been saying the federal government shouldn't be helping people. And now Louisiana needs help.
Well, definitely we need help with the disaster. And it's strange that you talked about Bobby Jindal. Last week I was over at the White House, me and Alton Sterling's mother, and we were discussing the murder of Alton Sterling. And one of the things that they asked is, what did I feel they could do to definitely turn the situation around for the youth? And I told them that we need money for summer jobs here. And they explained to me that they had given millions of dollars to Louisiana for summer jobs, but because it was attached to the Obamacare package, it was all sent back to the White House. And that was devastating for us to find out that millions of dollars had been given for summer jobs for youth here in Louisiana, and the money was sent back at the behest of the governor, Bobby Jindal, at the time, because that could have stopped a lot of problems that we're having right now. But this government here has been a hardcore Klan type of government, Dave, and it continues to be that type of way. And that's one of the things that we also have to fight here on the daily, not just for justice for people like Alton Sterling or other individuals that lose their lives, but for us to get the type of equality that we need here in Louisiana, because we're still under the Jim Crow districting segregation laws. So they have lines that they have drawn here where it's almost impossible for people of color to be successful even in politics. So we're still fighting that, and we're under the Napoleonic law here in Louisiana. So when they give you 99 years, you do at least 95 years of that 99 years if you're living, man. So we're fighting all of those things, man. This is a horrible place to be, but it's home, and I love it, and that's why we're trying to fight the change for the next generation.
In terms of the efforts to rescue people, how is that playing out demographically? We've seen footage of people in boats. We've seen firefighters. They showed a couple of policemen on the news here. I haven't seen, you know, our community, the Black community, the Brown community in Baton Rouge. How is this flood affecting our folks?
This letter is devastating because I think, you know, I made a statement on yesterday, and it kind of made sense to people that's in the what we call the hood. I said, if we didn't have a lot, we didn't lose a lot. I said, because we've been struggling anyway. But we are out helping our people, and that's one of the things that they're not showing on the news. The people that you see in boats are people we learned from Katrina. We can't wait on the government to come in and help us. We have to help ourselves. So our recreational boats became life-saving boats. So people are out in the hood making sure that people get out of these houses, make it to shelter, and get to a safe place. We had 12 lives that have been lost here, but definitely everything is devastated here, and it's ongoing process. Now we have water that's backing up and into another community and flooding that community out. So it's just an ongoing process. When they pump water out of one area, it goes into another area and flood that area out. So it's definitely something that we're dealing with by the day, but this is far from over right now. We still have a lot of devastation going on, and we still have areas that's under watch for being flooded within the next couple of days,
I understand that they have martial law in effect, and I want to ask, with the implementation of martial law, how does that kind of make people feel, especially with the police situation that caused so much unrest in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock in some areas, 9 o'clock in other areas. Some hours are as early as 8. I got caught up in that last night, and that's kind of like a scary feeling when you got 5 or 6 police cars swooping down on you because you're out past the curfew.
And this curfew applies to everybody?
Unless you have a legitimate reason, you have to have documentation that you're headed to work. You have to have some type of place that you're going as an emergency, else you go to jail. So, and that started, they caught 12 people is what was arrested for breaking into homes, which they're calling looting. They broke into homes, and then they put the curfew down, which we didn't feel like that was enough to really put a curfew down, because it wasn't the whole city. You know, in Katrina, you had everybody that was trying to survive that was breaking into things. That hasn't happened here. This has been a controlled situation. There's very little looting, but they did put the curfew in. So you have to get off the streets about 8 o'clock in some areas, 9 in others, and 10 is definitely the end of it. By 10 o'clock, you have to be in the house, else you will be arrested. And
What about the people that lost their homes? What about the people that have been, you know, 40,000 homes? That means everybody is crowded into a shelter and they're not allowed to leave?
Well, they have several shelters here, the River Center, Celtic Center, different churches. So once you're there at 10 o'clock, the shelters, you can't leave the shelters because you're not allowed to be on the streets. And you have the National Guard enforcing that along with the Baton Rouge City Police and the State Police. So it's a real contained situation. And the people talking to them, their biggest fear is that this martial law may be here to stay. You know, like this is what they want to do, you know, because it was such brazen with the police before this happened. So now they're really afraid that they may keep them under these same type of circumstances. And, of course, you know, I'm telling them that won't happen, that, you know, this is supposed to be a miracle, but we never know what can happen. But that's just the fear of the people right now. You got to realize you're dealing with people who have lost their homes, and they're only able to go and salvage what they can during the daylight hours. They have to make it back into the shelters after that. And people are trying to repair their homes so that they can get back in them in some areas where the water has gone down. So those people are panicking because they feel like if they're in their homes, they can stay there and work. They just can't be on the streets. You can't be riding around and stuff like that is how they have it right now.
It does seem a bit like overkill and, you know, practice for, you know, maybe implementing this on a more permanent basis. Have people come together in the wake of this? And I'm talking about the racial tension that we saw in the aftermath of Elton Sterling being killed. How has that played out with this flood and people being able to work or cooperate with one another?
Well, that's a tricky question. they have come together and we are working together, but this has been a racial divide for a very long time, all of our lives. So there's something that happened to me in the courtroom one time, and the DA asked me what I do when I get up in the morning. I said I pray. Then I asked him, did he pray? And he said, sometimes. And I laughed. And he said, did you find humor in that? I said, no, it goes back to something the old man told me one time. He said, son, even the devil prays sometimes. So if you see someone that really needs help, they may accept that help, but does that change their heart? At the end of the day, I would pray that it would change the hearts of the individuals. But we just know that they're in need of help, and we have always been a helping people, Dave. So, yes, we are helping each other. Yes, it seems to be a unity because everybody is in need. And believe me, this flood has affected more of the white areas of Baton Rouge than it have the black areas. So they're definitely 14, 15 feet underwater. They're still underwater. Inside of the urban community, the water has gone out. So we are repairing while they're still in despair. So definitely, man, everybody is trying to work together. But will that stay there? I don't know. That remains to be seen. You know, after 9-1-1, we had that same unity all over America, and then it went back to being like it was. So it's just a waiting game, Dave, is what I can say.
Silky Slim, we appreciate you taking time out and informing us and giving us the real insight as to what is going on the ground in Louisiana and Baton Rouge. We will stay in touch, and those pictures, I think, tell the story, and we'll try and post it up on our website so people can see. This is pretty bad, just as bad as Katrina in terms of this flooding. 40,000 homes have been destroyed in Baton Rouge, and I hope people can sit with that, as well as sit with the fact that you have a governor that sits there that had been advocating that money be kept away from the people. So